To every one of you, and it is a blessing and a joy again to be in the Lord's presence and to be drawn by His Spirit. I always regard it as a divine invitation to come into His presence. And before we start, let's commit our time into the Lord's hands and again ask for His mighty blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are ever faithful and You change not, and we can rely totally, completely upon You. And Lord, again You have provided for us to get together, to meet and to hear Your word. And Lord, we thank You that we hear Your word in a time of famine, when so many are not hearing Your word or don't really want to hear Your word. But You have so worked in our hearts to put these godly affections within us, to walk in Your ways and to keep Your commandments. So we commit our time now before You, and we thank You for the blood of Jesus over this time, this meeting, over the saints coming into the room and the connection. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I trust we've all got good sound. You can hear me okay. That's good news. Good news. Well, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. We're looking at the last chapter of Joshua 24. And I want to particularly look at verse 15 today. And just to put this in context, a new generation has come forth, circumcised, they crossed, and they're ready to go in to the promised land and take what God has given to them. And they've already sorted out all their blessings and land and everything. And Joshua is giving his sort of benediction, if you like, his blessing, his farewell message to them, because we note here that shortly the Lord takes him home. So that's what this is about. But I want us to look at verse 15 of Joshua 24. And here he says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I'm calling our teaching this morning, "Your Proposals and Plans Before God." Your proposals and plans before Almighty God. Now it's interesting here what he's saying to them. Because he's saying, it seems, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. So with all that they've gone through, what they've come through, ready to enter into the promised land, they've now got history, because they can look back to their forefathers and they can see what happened to them, and they can see the 40 years in the wilderness, how they chose to follow God for a season, then, you know, they fell into idolatry and disobedience, and it was a very checkered walk. It was a roller coaster. And also he's referring to the fact of how God brought them out of bondage, out of Babylon, and they're faced with idolatry all around them. And we have to remember that the conditions that we live in today are really no different. They're just simply packaged differently. But the enemy's ways of workings are still the same. He doesn't change. Nothing is new under the sun. In many times, history shows it can be like a circle. You start at the beginning and you find yourself ending at the same place. And so this is what he's referring to in here. And he's saying, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. So he's saying, he's challenging them. Do you want your gods, or do you want to serve the Lord God, Yahweh, who has been with you, who has shown all these miracles and brought you out of bondage? You see, he's challenging here. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he's saying, whatever the conditions, whether you want to serve the gods of the past or the gods that we now find ourselves in, because they crossed the river, they've got a new fresh start. But he says, you can choose this day what you want, but as far as I'm concerned, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And this is where I think we get the idea of this title this morning. Your proposals and your plans before God. You see, your will involves your own body, your destiny, you, and you can be responsible for your own actions and your own destiny. And in many ways, this is what Joshua is saying, because he says you can decide to serve whom you want, and it will bear consequences. It will actually affect you, your whole entire being of body, soul, and spirit. Sometimes we forget that our wills, and we know, we've had much teaching about this, where God is working with us both to will do for his good pleasure, it says in Philippians. And we know where we are to cast down those thoughts, those things that try to war in our mind against fundamentally our will. There's a conflict that goes on in heaven between God and Satan, and it's about the will, our will. Because when we will to do something, if we will to do what God shows, that is called obedience. And that is what pleases God more than anything, is obedience. But we soon have to learn about our nature, and we're not talking about two natures, because we are a new creation. But we know that sin can still lie in the heart. And this is why, of course, God is changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. It's not like we say, my old nature made me sin, which, of course, many Christians and sadly preachers use. And really, it's a cop-out. It's not really facing the giants before one, you see. This is why God doesn't remove the giants. He actually brings us into full view and vision of our giants. We know the story of the Philistine, Goliath, and there were other giants besides him as well. But God didn't remove them straight away, because he was delivering them. He was delivering them from their fear and their unbelief. He was delivering Israel so that she could make the right plans and decisions before God. You see, God makes us responsible for our decisions. Even though we commit all things unto Him, and rightly so, and it says that He will lead and guide our path, but we still have to submit to those plans, those proposals, those guidance and those directions. God isn't going to take you over. Demons take you over. The Holy Spirit doesn't that work. There's still the will attached to us in settling it before God. It's still that principle in operation right back to the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He still works on that same principle with us, even though, of course, man fell. And we have now been redeemed through the second Adam, that is Jesus Christ himself. But your will involves your whole entire being, your actions, your destiny, everything. It's fundamentally how you sow. This is why we know that we can sow good or bad. We can allow the law of life or the law of death to be in operation. It's all a matter of the will. And you see, God places before us plans and proposals, and Satan, of course, can also counterfeit. But he will place before us proposals. He will place before us plans, and the enemy can come along, and he can also counterfeit. We know that well. And most of us have all gone out of the perfect will of God. We've experienced what it's like and how he brings us back because we chose a different path to what God was initially showing us. Now, in my experience, when God is on the scene and there's some fundamental decisions and plans to be made, you have to wait on God. You have to give yourself time, and the reason that I say that is because 9 times out of 10, the enemy is going to come in and he's going to try and confuse in some way and knock us off our perch. He does it, and he will work in a logical way. It will sound logically feasible. Well, that has sense to it. That's what the world does. That's what my family did. That's what my mother and father did. What's wrong with that? Well, then what's wrong with it is it's not God's way. God's ways are always peculiar. And you can't, the peculiarity is they're not really peculiar. It's because we at the time cannot work out how God is working. And human nature wants to control, wants to be in control and work all of that out. And that's why we walk by faith. And we trust in the faithfulness of God. But in major decisions, well, in anything really, but we're talking about proposals, plans, the enemy will come in, and he will always come with logic to start off with. And that is where we've gone wrong in the past. We've acted on that, and it hasn't worked. Instead of waiting and allowing God to establish and work within us to take what I call that step, that jump. We're like athletes. We have to work up to the challenge. And so this is where waiting, and this is of course why the Bible says that we're saved to the school of waiting on God. We wait on God so that we can be raised up in the power of God, ready to take these proposals, these plans that affect the church, that affect individuals, both corporately and individually, so it enables us to move forward. We have to take steps as a church. We have to make fundamental moves forward as God shows what he's got for us for the next thing. But we know that we can't just rush out into that. We have to make sure that we're in unity, we're in oneness, we have prayed, we have interceded, we've waited on God, we're looking to Jesus, we're seeking the kingdom, all those conditions that we've laboured over years and years and years, so that we're all ready to move together. The children of Israel under Joshua had to all move together. There hadn't got to be division. And it doesn't matter how many, whether you're talking about 10 or 10 million, it's nothing to God. God can do it. But the point is, what he's saying is, you've got to choose, you've got to decide, because this is your destiny, this is your future, this is your plans. This is you going in and taking what God has promised for the overcomers. That is what he's saying here in its context. Now, when we're faced, whether as a church or certainly individually, where you're seeking plans, guidance, you're making fundamental decisions, here's some advice. It's good to recall the past, what you did before. When you went through a similar situation, whether it be a year ago or 5 years ago, think, recall, go back how God was preparing, what he was saying, or indeed how the enemy tried to get in. It is very good to reflect. This is why God gets the children of Israel to reflect on what he had brought them out from, the bondage and so forth. And it is also very important for us, both as a church and individually, to reflect on what he has brought us out from and what he is bringing us to. And this is very, very good on the mind and the thinking and the attitude. It's actually very, very powerful. This is why history is a very important subject. I believe history is very important in many ways in education, and we don't take it seriously enough. This is why, of course, the world uses history to remind itself of some of the major wars and the devastation that it caused. It's like a warning, it's a barrier. Do you want to go back down that route again? Well, 9 times out of 10 you're going to say no way. There's no way I want to go down there anymore. Cool. So it's very powerful, and God can use this and does use this. And I think this is something very important when you're facing proposals and plans and decisions in your life. It's good to recall the past. Recall how you yielded, how you obeyed God, how God got me to that place to obey him, when I know I couldn't have done that without him. How you put Jesus first in that situation that looked really impossible or so difficult. Recall when the Lord brings some new proposal before you. As he's bringing this before you, and these proposals, these plans, believe it or not, very often for the spirit-filled believer, it is God who brings these to our attention. It's God that brings these new plans, these proposals. He's showing us. He's the one that's giving us insight into it. And of course, you know as well as I do, because there's always blessing attached to it, Satan's right there to try and counterfeit it. And this is where we have to learn warfare. This is where we have to learn the power of prayer, intercession, overcoming, and so on. And the Lord allows him access to do that, because he can stop him. But he allows him, and the reason he allows him, because God has great confidence in each one of us. God never makes a mistake over his calling. And that's why he'll say, okay, go ahead, but God will always put a but to it. It'll only go so far, but he'll never be able to rob us and take us, and rob us of our salvation, which is secure in Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 15, also in the same chapter, verse 15. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which our fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So he shows that whatever they come out from and whatever they're choosing, whatever, you've still got spiritual warfare. You've still got the enemy there. You've still got idolatry, which is a problem. You're going to face new gods, new different trials, but you've got to choose. And the reason he's putting it is here because he's trying to remind them of the past. And the reason he's trying to remind them of the past, because he doesn't want this new generation making exactly the same mistake that their forefathers did. And what was that mistake? Right under trial, when Joshua Caleb came back, after they heard the report, and they said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight, what came out of their mouth? Wish to God we were back in Babylon, in Egypt. And God gave them over to that confession. And he doesn't want that mistake made again. And he's warning them, you are going to meet trials, you're going to meet these giants, but don't make this mistake. This is why I'm such a believer. Once you move forward, you put your hands to that plow, whatever it takes, let God burn those bridges. So there's no way you can go back. And thank God for that. Because he'll do that. But the word is choose. And that's what he's saying. And this is where the will has to be challenged. It has to be worked on. And at that time, everything else temporarily is held in suspense, in that sense, until you make that decision. Have you noticed when you haven't made that decision, everything is held in suspense, isn't it? You can't see anything. There's like no way through. It's like there's a mountain ahead of you. There's like giants that just cannot be overcome. And what that is actually, what you're actually seeing is you haven't yet settled your will to God's will. And the moment your will harmonizes with God's will, the victory is won. But it's getting to that place, isn't it? And this is where we have to be humble and we have to be honest that we are willful, we are rebellious, but it's not what we want. And we're waiting for God to work so that our will becomes one with God's will, our Heavenly Father. And that's how Jesus walked in the anointing and the power he did, because his will was in harmony and oneness each day with his Heavenly Father. And that is the same principle he's working with each of us. And to do that, he removes one of the biggest obstacles to that, which is fear. Fear. That is what he's working on. I've watched this with all of us because I know it in my own life. I've watched it with the rest of you. That is the fundamental thing he is removing from each of us, is that fear, because that fear will always stop us from doing the will of God. And that's why Satan afflicts the world with his problem, which is fear. And we know that one. And isn't it wonderful how God is so loving and gentle that he's slowly bringing us to that place, choose. Well, we know in our hearts what we want to choose. It's just that battle. Because if you're born again, spirit-filled, going on in the deeper life, it's no question. It's not even an argument. I know what I want. I'm getting there so that that can be visibly seen and manifested. And it's all connected with these proposals and these plans and so on. And so before we do that, we're held in a sort of suspense in the time of decision until it's settled. And this is important, brothers and sisters. And these experiences, this is between you and God. And we should not confer with man. But we do sometimes, and there's the problem. And that will often make it last longer. We're actually making it longer. We know this well, but I just want to, because the Apostle Paul went through exactly the same in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. Here he's called, his ministry is now coming before him. And
I'm
what
sorry.
Does he say here in verse 16?
Yeah, I'm...
To reveal his son, this is about God revealing
him. Yeah, I've...
That's his book in verse 15. But when,
I'm gonna,
but when it pleased God,
the
separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. He knew what to do. He was not going to get his answer from man. As good as man is, as wise as man can be at times, and the closest you can be to, you're not going to get it from man. But we do do it. See, fear will do that. Unbelief will do that. But as you seek God, and even if it's in fasting, everything around you then becomes insignificant. When you confer with flesh, and it hasn't given you the answers, if anything, it's confused you more, you eventually come to a place of desperation. It's me and God. Yes, if it's fastings or whatever, at that point, when you enter into that further experience in seeking God, you suddenly find somehow everything else becomes insignificant. It's like it almost disappears. It's like you are consecrated into another realm and level with God. And it is between you and
that's
God.
That's what we've been talking about, that. Right? Humans disappearing, yeah.
But we have to be careful that we don't look to man for the answers.
That's it, that's what we're learning.
And I'll tell you why, because you can share what God is trying to do, but in that sharing, you suddenly find they don't really understand. They don't understand. I can't say, there's no way I can relate this to them. We can't understand, because it's not for you or me to understand. It is for the other person who is seeking God, who's making a plan or decision. It is only for them and them alone to understand before God. It's between you and God. And God ain't going to share that. That's the whole point. And this is what brings us into that deeper realm of relationship with God that he's drawing us into. And it's very interesting, isn't it, that when you start to seek God in this way, he doesn't show much about it, does he? About these plans, these decisions. But I tell you what he is showing. He's showing more of himself. And you see, that is where we get it wrong. We're so anxious, so worried. Oh, I feel so down. And we're seeking God, trying to get closer to God and everything. And what's God doing? He's showing you nothing about the plan, the decision. It seems as though he's not saying anything about that mountain, that giant that's in front of you. It's like he's not even listening. But I tell you what he is doing. He's showing more of himself at that point. And we're not so interested at that. See, we want the decision. We want to know. But God's not interested in what you want. He's showing us what he wants, and that is, you need to see more of me. And under those conditions is the finest way of God giving a deeper revelation of himself. How many times have we heard testimonies, or even our own testimonies, of what we've gone through, or whatever it is, and you will invariably hear, but what the Lord showed me, what I saw of God, and everything. You see, that's his aim. He's trying, Job, what was Job fundamentally, what was God doing with Job? God was allowing Job to go through what he went through to show more of God himself to him. And when you look at it like that, wow, what a blessing. But it costs to see more of God. It isn't cheap. It's free, but it is not cheap to see more of the revelation of God. And that is why we find in these trials, in the land of decision, plans or whatever, one thing you will find every time is the faithfulness of God will be revealed to a further level and revelation. We can face this because we live and walk and breathe and have our being by the faithfulness of Almighty God, as none of us will be here today, this moment. And what's more, you actually become a witness to this. You witness it yourself. You are, in fact, your own witnesses. What does it say in verse 22 of Joshua? Let's go back. What did he say there again to them? Bet you've never seen it like this. So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves." Have you ever seen that like that before? You are actually your own witness. It's what you are witnessing from God. And that's what changes us. That's the reality of God. That's the touching God. You see? You become those witnesses. And you don't confer with others. But whatever, I will be faithful. And flesh and blood, brothers and sisters, can't teach you this. We trust and we look to him and we look to his faithfulness. If we still trust too much in the arm of the flesh, it's going to let us down, because the arm of the flesh can never allow you to become a witness yourself to the mighty hand of God in your life personally. This is why we teach faith as we do. We teach the deeper life. Our aim is to walk totally by faith, as God is weaning us, delivering us away from all these things that the world are dependent upon. And believe me, he's doing it. And here's your choice. Here's your decisions. Here's your plans. Have you settled that proposal before God, that God will wean me away from trusting in the arm of the flesh for everything? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to settle that one with you? If you haven't, you've got to. And then he'll start to deal with the fears that still hold us. He'll start to deal with everything. You see, this is where we've missed it. This is where many have missed it. They have not been prepared to pay the cost to bring these proposals, these plans, before Almighty God, and to let him work this in us so that we are a witness to it. I can't wait for that. Let's just get out and do it. And that's where it goes desperately wrong. We know, because we did a bit of it at the beginning. But we don't anymore, because we're finding God has a divine plan, a divine path to walk this faith walk in these last days. And boy, is he doing it. Is he doing it? I know I've just gone through this recently over the orphanage and everything. Yes, I conferred with flesh and blood. Praise God. It's got nothing to do with brothers and sisters. They say the right things, as I would say. But at the end of the day, not only me but others in this, God had to take me away from that, and I had to be before God, me and God alone. Because I had to settle a big proposal, a plan. And God had to remove fear and unbelief. And that morning I got up at 3 a.m. and obeyed God. Within an hour and a half, I was completely delivered, set free. Only God can do that. Until then, you're wavering. Until then, you're suspended. It's like you're not settled in anything. And it's and you can't really put your mind, thoughts to anything else. Everything else just seems, it's an irritant almost. You know, particularly, we will have to watch this, if you hear someone griping and moaning about some trivial thing, and here you are, before God, a huge thing to be deciding everything, you think, please, you know, but you die to it. You die to it. How do they know? They don't know. It's between you and God. And we have to be careful, because we can snap. You know, Moses did this to the children of Israel. He smote the rock twice. Amen. And that cost him. And there's a principle to learn from that for all of us. But you get my point in this. And then once your will is in harmony with God, the peace, the clarity. No, you may not still be through yet, but you know you're through by faith. That's the whole point. How God does this, I just don't know. But he's a miracle-working God. And if you haven't met this, you're going to. Because God is going to bring before us, as I close now, proposals, plans, choices. And stop. Don't do anything with it. You take it straight to God. Take it straight to God. And it might be a journey. It might take 2 months. It might even take 6 months. But God wills it. And this is so important. It's important for us both individually and corporately as a body, with what we're facing now and as we're going forward. Well, praise God. Your proposals and plans before God. That's what we have been sharing and talking about this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you for your love and devotion to us. Lord, your ways are so past our ways. Your thoughts, nothing like our thoughts. And we're learning this more and more. But Lord, we know you are faithful. And whatever work you have begun, you will complete and finish, because you are sovereign. And Father, thank you again today for this exhortation. I believe it's spoken to all our hearts. We know, because we face choices, decisions, plans are to be made. But Lord, our heart's desire is that our will is in line with your will. That we are always in harmony and oneness with you. Because we have each of us received of your fullness. That is absolutely mind-blowing. Lord, I think we will have eternity in which to learn about that more and more. But Father, what we do know and understand, we need to be one with you. Because there's no division, separation in the Godhead. And so, Father, work this with us. And as we face these decisions, Lord, work with our will, that we do the will of God, which is ultimately obedience. We believe you can do it because you are mighty. You are all-powerful. You are God. And Lord, we can seem, it seems at times we can be so rebellious, so stubborn. But you can change that, and you do change that. And that is the hope and calling set within us. That is the deeper life that you have drawn us into. That you work in us both to will do for your good pleasure. And so, Father, I thank you today. Thank you for this meeting. I pray you'll bless all of those that have come into the room. Be with them, bless them, preserve them, and keep them from the evil one. Till it finds
Onward ever growing till it finds fulfillment.